Father, I just thank you for those who came out to sit at your table. I thank you, Father God, for each and every need that's here tonight, because I know you're going to meet it. And I know, Father God, that your Holy Spirit is moving to and fro in this sanctuary. And I know that your angelic angels are doing their job. And for all this, we thank you, Father. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, who hung on that cross for us. I thank you, Father God, for the love from the heavenly kingdom. And we just give you praise, honor, and glory tonight. And we thank you for coming to sup with us as we came to sup with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The more you study about Easter, the more confusing it can become. I've run into a whole lot of questions about Easter. But we're just going to let that go to after Easter. I don't want to spoil your Easter. We know that Jesus Christ was crucified. We usually show the film of him being beat, but I've seen that as many times as I care to see it. And I just think we just need to know who the man Jesus really was. Matthew 16, we're going to call this Good Friday. And Matthew 16:21 says, "Then Jesus made it clear to his disciples that it was now necessary for him to go to Jerusalem, submit to an ordeal of suffering at the hands of the religious leaders, be killed, and then on the third day be raised up alive. Peter took him in hand, protesting, 'Impossible, Master, that can never be.' But Jesus didn't swerve. 'Peter, get out of my way. Satan, get lost. You have no idea how God works.' Then Jesus went to work on his disciples. 'Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me, and I'll show you how.'" You know, Jesus knew what his assignment was, and he wasn't going to anybody stop him, even if it was Peter. So how many know your true assignment, and you're determined in your heart that you're not going to let anybody stop you from doing the things that God has called you forth to stop? Cover that up a little bit, or push it down where they can't read any further down. I just want to say something. Whenever we was doing praise and worship, God said, the reason why some of you can't get close to him is because you're trying too hard to get close to him. He said you're trying to get close to him like you would if a man or woman that you're trying to get to love you, and they won't. He said this is not a natural thing. This is a spiritual thing. And he loves you, and all you have to do is just be there. And if you're one, you're just crying out and crying out and crying out to God, you need to quit. Just he loves you. You know, all you have to do is just be and just talk to him and just let go of all the worldly things you think about, you know, and just act normal. How many of you have been in marriages where you couldn't act normal because you're scared to death your husband or your wife was going to leave, so you had to do whatever you thought to please him? See, and this is God, but God showed me that that's what the people are doing to him. They're always trying to please him, and that's not pleasing him. Just relax in his love and know that he loves you and he's there for you. And you know, you're going to make mistakes. All lovers do. And so don't get hung up on them. How many of you just say, you're laying in your bed and say, God, I really do love you today. Maybe a little bit more than yesterday, but I really do love you. He said, I know you do. See, he knows all things. So then you don't labor on that. You just go on about your business, right? You already made your confession to God. You love him. And he made his confession to you that he loves you. And we got a good love affair going. Now we just have to act normal. So let's start acting normal. See, when you get into the other junk, it's religion. And you're trying to make God to do something he's already done. He already loves you. And you can't make him any more love you any more than what he already does. All right? Now, can we be normal now? Yeah, can you walk around knowing that God's not going to drop you because you didn't look at him just right? Or maybe lay his pants out for the day. Get his coffee ready. that you know, you don't have to deal with that, God. You just are. I have a good relationship with God. And when God was telling me all that, I said, wow, that isn't even a good fellowship. So let's just be normal. And let's just go about our business, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct us. And just be in love. He's always going to be there for you. I promise you. He's not going to go down a corner and get some other woman for the day or a man. You know, he's always going to be there for you because you're the beat of his heart, the apple of his eye, carved in the palm of his hand. What more do you want? Jesus hung on the cross for you. Now, we got this little love affair straightened out. All right, Nancy, we can go on now. We're starting at Good Friday, right? Good Friday is a Friday preceding Easter Sunday and is the day Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. Good Friday is a road to Sunday. There is no Easter Sunday without Good Friday. There is no resurrection without the cross. All right? If you didn't have Good Friday, you wouldn't have Good Sunday. All right? If we didn't have the cross, we wouldn't be here. We can celebrate on Good Friday because Christ's death was a sacrifice so that we could receive the gift of eternal life. Jesus bore our sins, shame, and burden on the cross. Will each one of you please remember that? Quit carrying around the burden of your sins. Jesus carried them on the cross. I have to give you an update. I'm going to stop there. You know the couple I had at my house? They came to church here. I kicked him out because he wouldn't change. They came to the house last night to pick up their stuff. And they said, you go in there and tell Mom that we're so happy she kicked us out. It was the best thing she could have did for us. She could have done for us. Because we weren't going anywhere near because she was pampering us and taking care of us. He said, I have a job. A good job. And he said, we have a trailer. He said, we're happy. And he says, and I'm getting away from the drugs. And so, you know how much I labored over kicking him out. And he said, and just the other day I said, I wonder if I could call him and ask him to come do something for me after I kicked him out. And then last night he said, you tell Mom anytime she wants anything, she knows my number, just call me. I'll come and do anything for her. You know, it says, I'm excited about that. I love that little Jasper, even though he was a person who could wrap you around your little finger. I really do love him, and I know God's going to do great and wonderful things, and you will never know how much it hurt me to tell him, get out. But anyhow, so if you have to tell somebody to get out, it might be the best thing, you know. Even though you don't want to do that, it's be the best thing for them. Now I lost my place again. Where am I? Okay. What God offers us all is first the cross. Cross had to come first. The earliest believers called the cross the wisdom of God and power of God. And you read that in 1 Corinthians 1, 23 through 34. It is hard for some to understand that both his power and wisdom led him to the cross. Remember, things are always darkest just before they go pitch black and happen. You know that. Right? And then in the blackness of the truth that our own power or strength are never enough, you know, once we realize that we can't do it, we discover that we need to rely solely on the promise of the Father. Good Friday means the beginning of change. So some of you in here just starting with this walk with God, this is the beginning of change. And you who are ministering to people, let them know that this is the beginning of change. And not to get upset or excited because God is with you while he's changing you. Good Friday provides the opportunity to proclaim once you have been to the cross, everything changes. Why do you think things aren't changing in your life? Is it maybe because you haven't really gone to the cross yet? Think about that. It's just, you know, just think about these things. Stumbling blocks and foolishness turn into power and wisdom once you bend to the cross. Stumbling blocks and foolishness turn into power and wisdom. The cross changes everything. If something is pursuing you, then perhaps the event that will change everything for you is the cross. If nothing is changing, maybe you haven't been to the cross. Or I say, what if you have a habit, overeating? Nail the thing to the cross. See what I'm saying? Well, do you have a good diet? Yeah, that's a cross. Nail that appetite to the cross and tell God it's His. And then move on. We know that Easter is about the empty tomb, but first it is about the cross. Good Friday is the road to Sunday. It was a road for Jesus. It is a road for you and I. Jesus uttered these two phrases on the cross. Why have you forsaken me? He said to God. And Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. First of all, he went and questioned him, and then he said, here I am, God, I'm all yours. How can these two go together? Even at his death, Jesus showed us how to trust the Father beyond the circumstances. How many of you have been crying out for God to change something, either in your life or somebody else's life? If I need to say, God, it's yours. I can't do any more with it. It's all yours. He nails it to the cross. Amen. Jesus predicted his death and resurrection. It is one thing to predict the future. It is quite another to go to the cross willingly. At least three times Jesus shared his destiny with the disciples. They didn't understand. More challenging still is the fact that Jesus embraced this destiny by faith. He knew the Father's promise of resurrection, but death still lay ahead of him. And death was still death, even for Jesus. It was his trust in the Father's promise that caused him to wager everything he had, his very life. As a man, Jesus modeled how to trust the Father. You know, the other day, somebody was questioned about, I was sitting talking about how God's bringing the miracles of healing and everything. And they said, well, if you serve such a miracle working God, why are you still sick? I said, this is the way it is. I have what I have. And it's doing what it's doing to my body. But my Father's promised me he's going to heal me from the crown of my head, my soul, and my feet. If he does, it's going to be glorious. If he doesn't, then I'll just die and I'll go to heaven. I'm not going to sit and argue with this about you. I trust my Father. He knows what he's doing. And he knows that I trust him. And he knows that he can use me any way he wants to. I don't question God, why aren't you healed? Why haven't you already healed me? Why do I have to go through this all the time? I just know he said he was going to. When I look in the mirror and see the wrinkle, I say, God, you said you're going to return my youth. Do that quickly. Amen. Come on. We have a Father that doesn't lie. And if he said he's going to do it, then he's going to do it. So, you know, if you have to go through a little bit of pain from beginning A to Z, so be it. Jesus went through a lot of suffering from A to Z. Can you imagine what it would be like to sit around knowing that you were going to have to go through that beating? Wouldn't that be horrible? And even in the garden, God said, not my will be done. You know, Father, take this cup away from me. He did not want to go through that beating. He finally said, not my will, but your will be done. He understands us. You know, he was a man like you and I are. And he understands all that kind of stuff that goes through us. He doesn't discredit you. He doesn't throw you away just because you acted human. He made you human, didn't he? He didn't make you a god. And he wants our faith and our trust. All right, we must always remember it was not the nails that kept Jesus on the cross. It was love. I liked what Aaron said about Valentine's Day. This is the best day of love there is. The day he hung on that cross and said, it is finished. Good Friday, the cross, was the beginning of the end. As followers of Jesus, we need to embrace Good Friday, which is the cross. Good Friday is one of the greatest love stories ever told. So you think your love story is, it isn't. God has the greatest love story that's ever been told. Now, this is what God has to say. My children, since when did my son Jesus die for nothing? This day was the greatest day in history. This was a day that full preparation was made for the trek to the cross. This day marked a day of new beginnings, a day that will be forever written in the chronicles in heaven. Even though it was a dark, gloomy day on earth, all of heaven was rejoicing because a spotless lamb was being offered for the sins of all. And that bothered me. They were throwing a party because Jesus was dying. But you know what? We should throw a party when people die too, because they're going to a better place. Do you know that selfishness that makes you cry and boo-hoo and carry on? Let them go and let them enjoy themselves with the Heavenly Father. They were given an opportunity to, okay, let me start that again. This day marked a day of new beginnings, the day of the cross, a day that would be forever written in the chronicles in heaven. Even though it was a dark, gloomy day on earth, all of heaven was rejoicing because a spotless lamb was being offered for the sins of all. They were given an opportunity to choose heaven or hell for their eternal home because of the cross. And you'll find that in Luke 15:7. I tried to reword that, but God said, that's the way I said it. Leave it there. But when he died on that cross, everybody has the opportunity to go to either heaven or hell. They make that choice. The cross will never happen again. It was a once-in-a-lifetime event. I bet Jesus is saying, I'm glad of that, right? You know? All of heaven has done all it can do for mankind. When the spotless lamb hung on that cross and cried, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? I stood by and waited until he said, it is finished. Then I tore the veil from top to bottom. I sent total darkness upon the earth. I shook the earth. I split the rocks. I opened the tombs, and the saints were raised from the dead. And I sent the earthquake, and all knew this was truly the Son of God, the sent one, the Messiah. And from that day forth, there was never a question of who my son Jesus was. And God goes on to say, Church, it is good that you remember this day, but it would also be good if you would understand why my son Jesus died on that cross and honor him. If you truly understood the entire truth of the cross, you would never walk in sin. You would never walk in hesitation. You would be excited to go tell the world about my precious son and how he gave his life for many. You would be so happy to share the good news. And God said, what is the good news? The good news is that Jesus died once and for all for the sins of all, and he made a way for all to enter the kingdom of heaven once and for all. I had to read that again. That I sort of thought that was cute. All right, what is the good news? The good news is that Jesus died once and for all for the sins of all, and he made a way for all to enter the kingdom of heaven once and for all, period. It's done. Never going to do it again. If you can't receive Christ, then you've got a big problem. And he's not going to go hang on that cross to you and stand there and make sure it was real. He finished it. God said, Church, rise up this day, the same way my son rose out of that grave. Rise up in the true resurrection power and behold the Lamb of God. He was slain for many. Take the blood of my son and go forth, totally at peace, covered in that precious blood that is filled with life, giving power for all. That blood that ran down Calvary's hill still heals, restores the brokenhearted, saves the darkest sinner from the pits of Sheol. That blood was shed for all who will receive the life-giving power that the blood holds. And God told me one time years ago, daughter, never forget the blood. Never forget the blood. When my son cried, it is finished, it was at that precise moment that my plans of redemption were set in place. awesome, isn't he? God is so awesome. He has everything perfectly lined up. He knows the perfect timing for all things. Redemption means the action of saving or being saved from sin, error, or evil. God's plans for the redemption of his world. So I said, when my son cried, "It is finished," it was at that precise moment that my plans of redemption were set in place. Those plans are still set in place, and they still accomplish all that I have set them forth to accomplish. It will be a glorious event, an event that will only occur once, the catching away. So Ephesians 4:30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." The day of redemption is the day of the catching away. You can read it in Ephesians 4:30. God said, "Yes, you are giving homage to the day my son hung on the cross, but there is so much more to be told about that day." Once hell realized its mistake, there was untold activity in the very quarters of Sheol as total confusion hit the bowels of Sheol. Where did my son go immediately after he died? He went into the deepest depth of Sheol, where he set the captives free, took the keys of hell and of death. He went to hell but was resurrected, therefore he conquered death. Revelation 1:18 says, Jesus said, "I am the one who lives. I was dead, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death in Hades." God says, now we are in a new dispensation of time, and in this time frame, we are preparing the way for the second coming of my son, Jesus. This time, he will descend from heaven in the clouds, riding on a white horse, calling his true bride home. And you can read that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. He will gather his bride to himself, and then he will judge those that remain. God told us from the very beginning when all this stuff started, he said, you are preparing the way for the second coming of my son, Jesus. And now I notice a lot of ministers are preaching that we are in the dispensation of time where we are preparing for the second coming of Jesus. You know, I don't need to read what somebody else says to know what God's saying. I need God to speak to me. And I need God to tell me what he's saying. And then when I read what somebody else says, it's just a confirmation of what he's already told me. That's how each one of you should live your lives. You should be having God speak to you. And then whenever you read something else, somebody else says, "Oh, God already told me that." It's a confirmation. And that makes you know that you are a chosen, special person by God to go forth and prepare the way for the second coming of Jesus. When I first came on the scene, born again, my message was repent. God was cleaning the house. He sent me to the churches and ministered to the ministers. But they would not repent. They thought it was neat, but they said, no, that it really isn't God speaking, and they stayed. And I went to Pennsylvania a lot, and they're really hard-nosed in Pennsylvania. They believed for a day or two, but by the time my 30-day ministry was through up there, they all kicked me out. It was too hard for them to walk the way God was telling them they had to walk. God never sends us a hard way. We're going to have trials and tribulations, you know, but he always sends us the easy way, and the end result is souls are saved. We're going to have to suffer. If you read about Jesus, he really suffered. Paul suffered. Peter suffered. The disciples suffered. If you read how each one of them died, each one of them died a terrible death. Just shoot me, get it over with. Don't drag me through the streets on a horse. I'm back of a horse. You know what I'm saying? I mean, their deaths were not, and don't stone me to death. That would really hurt. Till I find one of them hit me and finally killed me. Just shoot me. Come on, guys. Are you willing to die for the souls that are out there like Jesus died for you? Or are you going to still hang around the edges just watching to see what's going on? Matthew 27:45 says, "Now from the sixth hour there was..." Okay, I'm reading this in here because of what he said in the beginning, what he did when Jesus said, "It is finished." Okay, that's this scripture covers that. Matthew 27:45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders hearing it said, this man is calling Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Remember, that's what God, this is what God said he did. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God. Let me ask you something tonight. What's it going to take for you to say, truly, Jesus is real? Truly, heaven is real. And truly, hell is real. What's it going to take? You going there? To hell, I mean. What is it going to take? You losing your loved ones? I want you to think about this. In 1 John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Tells you right there, God gave us one and only Son. He only had one Son. The Son was Jesus. And why did he do that? Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins, talking about Jesus, in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness, and by his wounds you have been healed. It's all in the Word. All you have to do is research it. Luke 9:23 says, then he said to them, Jesus said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. How often do you take up your cross? Daily. Every morning I say, God, give me my cross for the day. But help me carry it. Because sometimes your cross is heavy. And you ask God to assist you. Luke 14:27, and whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. You see that? Whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. You know, sometimes walking with God, you think, I don't have a life anymore. You don't. You don't have a life anymore because you are God's servant and you're doing what he's telling you to do. And he will uproot your plans every day. You know, so don't bother making plans. Just say, well, God, here I am today. Be with me and do what you want to do with me. Teresa Ann said, I can never make any plans. She gets upset because everybody wants her to be a tax driver. I said, well, neither can I. Are you following God or what are you doing? You see that? You all go through that, don't you? Come on, it's not just one person. It's not one-sided. It's whoever has sold out to God, God is going to ruin your plans for the day. Come on. My phone rang early this morning, and I thought, I want to go answer that phone. And I said, I heard this is a fraud detection unit. Boy, I'd like to broke my neck to get the phone. Somebody was charging on my card like crazy. Chris checked it out for me. The company doesn't even exist, but they were sure buying $90 worth of items all over the place. So you know what that meant. The fraud detection cut the card off. Now I don't have no money. That's why I go down there and get a new card, and then I have to try to get the money back that they stole. You know, that is what I planned for today. You know, my daughter's coming in tomorrow, and I was planning to do things to get ready for her. So there went my day. don't plan your day, then you won't be upset. And just go to bed and get up. And whatever happens, happens, right? Just make sure God's in that day. And you've picked up your cross. And you go on, and God will be with you. All right, the cross was the church's victory in Satan's demise. What does the cross mean to you? Is it just a pretty story? Well, I shouldn't have said that. Is it just a gory story? Or is it the truth? The facts are there. What do you do with the facts? You know, church, I'm sorry, but the days of happy are over. You know, we used to come into the church, be all happy and giggly and leave happy and giggly, you know, and have a nice week, right? And that doesn't happen no more, does it? Even coming to church isn't happy and giggly anymore, because the enemy is constantly thinking of ways to stop you from fulfilling your call in Christ Jesus. He always has something out there to try to make you stumble and fall. But I know with the fact that if you really cling to the cross, who is Jesus? Jesus takes care of his own. He really does take care of his own. Now, who are you going to trust? Yourself? Or the Jesus who hung on the cross and died just for you? This is the day he hung on the cross, so that's all we're going to concentrate on. Why did he do it for you? You have to stop and think yourself, why did he hang on the cross for me? One thing, so you could be saved. Another thing, so you could be healed. Another thing, so you could be a witness. Another thing, so he could use you for signs, wonders, and miracles. Another thing, you could be persecuted for following. Well, you will be persecuted for following him. But Jesus went through it too. The disciples went through it. You know, the people that lived everyday life went through it. They were always being persecuted, the Christians were, always. And we know now that the persecution started all over again, and God told us it was going to. It was going to come to America. It's in America. But does that make you quit following God just because things are going wrong in your life? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Somebody in my family called this morning right after I got my phone call, and they said, do you have some money you can lend me? I said, well, let me tell you my story. They said, I guess you don't. I'll talk to you later, and hung up. You know, so maybe, you know, when you're complaining to Jesus, he might say to you, let me tell you my story. Let me tell you what I did for you. Tonight, God wants to give you a vivid picture of what the cross is all about. What he wants to do is close your natural eyes and open up your spiritual eyes and really let you see heaven in its fullness. And that's what the altar call is all about. You know, when God sits down and gives me this word, this stuff written in green, he gives me first, but then I have to make it all sound good, you know. It just isn't a half hour thing and it's over. It's searching, researching, reading again. And God, is this really what you want to say? Yes, that's what I want to say. Then finding the scripture to back up everything he says. But it's a labor of love. When you work for God, is it a labor of love, or do you just, oh, I got to do this thing, or he's going to get his whip out again? You know? Come on. Do you want God to open up your spiritual eyes and let you see the fullness of heaven and what really constitutes heaven, really, and really see what Jesus really did for you? The altar's open.